If your small business has a problem, you could say,
"Ugh, just my luck."
But you should say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Believe in Bingo podcast right here on Bally Sports Ohio. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcox. Starting with this week's hot take. Look, I really truly believe that when the Bengals go on the clock with the 18th overall pick, that they should be thinking about drafting the uber talented tight end in this year's draft class, Brock Bowers, to further weaponize what is already a potent offensive passing attack centered around the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback, Joe Burrow. Now, why Brock Bowers? All you got to do is look at the 3 years that he was at the University of Georgia. Started all 3 years as a true freshman, sophomore, and junior. And over the course of those 3 years, he averaged 58 receptions per season and well over 800 yards receiving in each and every one of those years. So this is a guy that puts up huge numbers, 26 total touchdowns receiving in the 40 games over those three seasons, and he had five rushing touchdowns because they're the Georgia Bulldogs to use Brock Bowers on what we call a tight end reverse, which I think is proof positive to my second point. He's a very versatile and multi-skilled offensive player. He's a true tight end. Yes, he can block in line, even though I don't think he's best used in that way. He's better used detached from the line of scrimmage, running routes as a slot receiver to the backside of the formation. He can run the football, as a testament to those five rushing touchdowns during his career in college. But the guy can also dominate inside the red zone, which is the money zone. That's where you cash in on long drives for the Cincinnati Bengals. He can help dominate over the middle of the field in between the numbers. He can help create more room outside on the perimeter for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. To have Brock Bowers in an offense with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Chase Brown, I'm telling you right now, Cincinnati Bengals offense would become even that much more prolific because he's not just a tight end. He's a hybrid wide receiver, tight end slash running back. The guy is a physical ball player who can create yards after the catch and still get the ball beyond the first down marker and sometimes into the end zone. Also, here's what I want people to understand. As good as the Cincinnati Bengals defense has been over the last 3 years, I'm talking in 2021, 2022, and 2023, they can still be better. Here are some of the more important metrics in terms of where the Bengals offense and how productive they've been over the last 3 years. Over the last three seasons, they've ranked ninth in scoring drive percentage. That means they ranked ninth among all NFL offenses over the last three seasons in taking their possessions and having it equate to either a field goal or a touchdown. Ninth in the National Football League in that category. They rank eighth in terms of total points scored for any offense in the National Football League over the last three seasons, 2021, 2022, and then 2023. They scored the eighth most points over the last three seasons. So while that's good, ranks top 10, still can be better, right? I love to see the Bengals ranking top five across that category. They rank 11th in average yards per play, at about 5 yards per play over the last three seasons, outside of the top 10. So still, while it's good, still room to grow where they can be great by adding a multi-purpose tight end who can create touchdowns with more agility and ability within the offense. Now, here's one they can definitely improve upon. Over the last three seasons, Cincinnati Bengals offense ranks 28th in forced missed tackles. Ja'Marr Chase has got some shake and bake. This guy's hard to tackle in space. And look, we know T. Higgins, his specialty is contested catches. He can rebound the ball better than any wide receiver in the NFL. But where are the guys in this offense that forces the defense to have to tackle you? That once you meet the first unblocked defender, he's getting out of the gate, creating yards after the catch. We get that from Ja'Marr Chase. We need a tight end that we can get that from. I think Chase Brown is going to bring that to the offense. I think Zach Moss brings that to the offense. But if the Bengals can add a long-term player at the tight end position who they can, again, weaponize to create more big plays within the offense, create more forced missed tackles, then now we're talking all of those other numbers that we just described across the board all go up. Yards per play, total points scored. The Cincinnati Bengals offense becomes more explosive, more productive by adding a multi-versatile, multi-talented tight end like Brock Bowers. Lastly, the economics of this is a no-brainer. You get a tight end that's producing like a wide receiver, like a hybrid multi-skilled player. At the top of the market, you're going to pay him $12 to $15 million a year. Far much lower than you would a wide receiver who are producing at the same level. The economics is clear. Moving forward in the National Football League, wide receivers are becoming very costly. And let me just tell you this, they deserve it. I'm not going to say wide receivers don't deserve their money, but they're getting to be right around $30 million a year, $25 million a year. But what if I told you, you could get a tight end like a Travis Kelce, like a Rob Gronkowski, who produces like a wide receiver, but you get to pay him like he's a tight end. That is a no-brainer every day of the week. So come on, who's else going to join me? We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to be joined by PFF draft analyst Trevor Sikkema. We're going to see how he weighs in on what the Bengals should do with that 18th overall pick. Where does Brock Bowers stack on the big board when it comes to drafting players? Do you pass on him? Do you even take a tight end in the first half of the first round of the upcoming draft? We'll hear what he has to say and more when we come back right here to the Believe in Bengal podcast on Bally Sports Ohio. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Believe in Bengal podcast. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcots, right here on Bally Sports Ohio. And right now, we're joined by a very good friend, a talented man in his own right, PFF draft analyst Trevor Sikkema, joining us here on the podcast. Trevor, how you doing today?
It's always good to be with you. Chop it up, talk a little ball. So I'm excited to be on here with you, my friend.
Well, you know, I had to bring on the big brains, man, to kind of help us understand some things a little bit. I've been on this tirade just saying that the Cincinnati Bengals need to weaponize their offense with one of the uber talented tight ends that we've seen in the NFL draft in a long time by taking a tight end like Brock Bowers in the first half of the first round of this year's draft. To that, Trevor, you say what?
Shoot, if he can make it to where the Bengals are picking at 18, I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, obviously, you say, hey, first half of the first round, maybe they'd trade up a little bit to go get him. But just for conversation's sake, I mean, we could back it up a little bit and just say top 20. Like, do you take a tight end top 20 in the draft? Because that obviously includes where the Bengals are picking at 18. For them specifically, it's a very interesting conversation, right? Because you got T. Higgins playing on the franchise tag. You know that Ja'Marr Chase is going to stay for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't bring Tyler Boyd back. It's like, okay, you need that third guaranteed option anyways in the offense. If you keep Higgins next year and you draft Brock Bowers, all of a sudden that's a pretty damn good wide receiver, or I should just say passing attack trio for Joe Burrow to throw the ball to. So, like, in theory, it makes a ton of sense, right? It's hard for me to believe that if Bowers gets to 18, mm-hmm. they pass on him, right? Because you go out and you sign Trenton Brown for this very reason. Now, I don't know if they think that Trenton Brown's going to be here for a long, long time because offensive tackle is still on the table. But the reason why you go out and get him is because you want to allow yourself the luxury to where if a player of Bauer's caliber and talent and versatility and everything can make it to, I'll just say within striking range, because maybe you can move up a couple of spots to go get them. I don't know how desperate they would be to move up a lot of spots to go get them. Mm-hmm. But let's just say in relative range, this would make a lot of sense. And there's a lot of things that kind of come into the conversation, because I think everybody out there would tell you Brock Bauer is a really good football player.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And I think that most people, if you ask most draft analysts, would have him at least top 10 on their big boards.
That's right.
But then you get into conversations, well, okay, if you think that he's a top five player in the class, well, you know, why don't the Cardinals just take him at four, or the Chargers take him at five? Well, then you start getting into, you know, something that we've talked about in the past of just the economics of taking a tight end in the first round and things like that. But it's a little bit of a different, and I would say better conversation when you get more towards where the Bengals are picking. So short term this year, it set up a great trio. Next year, it could give you the ability and the flexibility to move on from T. Higgins if you wanted to. And then financially, it's maybe not as bad as it is to the conversations of taking him in the top 10 and all that. So I think that this, I think that Bauer's has been a popular mock draft selection for the Bengals if he makes it to them at 18. And it's for a good reason. I think that he'd be phenomenal in Cincinnati.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. We saw what his production was like in the 3 years that he was at Georgia. Could he conceivably produce and at the NFL level as if a wide receiver too? In other words, whatever the production you expect to get from a second wide receiver playing next to Ja'Marr Chase or any other top receiver in any other offense, could you expect that kind of production out of the tight end position if it's Brock Bauer's?
Yeah, I think the question to that goes into like, okay, how much is the offense innately going to emphasize the tight ends in the passing game? And I think when you have Bauer's, I'll answer the question by saying it allows you to do that.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if every team in the NFL would utilize tight ends in a way that really maximizes what Bauer's is. But let's face it, like a lot of people talk about Bauer's as this all-around tight end. And pound for pound, I think he's pretty strong. Like, I think you could still put him in line as a traditional tight end. Mm-hmm. But he's 6'3", 240 pounds. Like, this dude's a receiving tight end. Like, the reason why you would draft him in the top 20 is to throw him the football. So, you know, we've got some metrics over at PFF that I like to lean on, especially when it comes to how often you were emphasized in the passing game. And yards per route run is a really good metric to me, because it showcases volume. How many times were you targeted when you were running a route? And over the last 2 years, 2022 and 2023 combined, Bauer's is in the 96th percentile of tight ends. So it's just that Georgia very clearly wanted to get this guy the football. And his yards after the catch average was also in the 90th percentile as well. So he was clearly a great benefit when they threw him the football. And that just goes to show you, I think that he can be a focal point of a passing attack in the NFL. Maybe not, you know, not wide receiver one level, but certainly for what the position is now and the flexibility to where, like the conversation that we're having here, some tight ends nowadays are these pseudo wide receiver two options. I mean, shoot, you look at Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski of the past, and they were wide receiver one options for Brady.
They were one. They were number one.
Right. So we know that it's possible. Now, those guys are future first ballot Hall of Famer. So you don't want to necessarily say like, oh yeah, just go out there and be Travis Kelce. But I think that Bauer's to the conversation, even if you temper it a little bit and say, okay, can he be a wide receiver too?
Yeah.
I think that he can be. Now, you know, I don't know if that means 1,100, 1,200 yards. But when I say wide receiver two, I simply mean a focal point of the passing attack that can give you a heavy return on investment every time that you target this guy. So it's going to be a little different for him in the NFL. Certainly any jump from college to the pros is. Tight end is one of those positions that's tough because it's just these big, massive dudes who are going up against these bigger, faster linebackers and bigger, faster safeties and all that. But Bauer's has been doing this in the SEC, so he's about as well prepared as you could possibly be.
And Trevor, by saying wide receiver two, we're meaning a secondary pass option outside of the number one primary target for a quarterback like Joe Burrow or any other quarterback operating within an offense. And so I wanted to ask you, if you had a wide receiver two producing at the same rate as your talented tight end, say it, for instance, in the Kansas City Chiefs offense, Kelsey's operating, as you said, as the one. He's got the best production.
Right.
But if your tight end is producing like he was, say, at the equivalent of a wide receiver two, say 90 receptions a year, right around 1,000 yards, 900 plus yards per year. If your wide receiver two is producing that and your tight end is producing at the same level, if you're building the team out over time, who's the guy you pay? Who's the guy you keep? The wide receiver two,
right,
or the tight end who produces at the same level?
Yeah, and it's such a fascinating way to set up this conversation because I think a lot of people lean towards the drafting a tight end high in the draft conversation, but they lean towards the, okay, well, this is what happens if you draft them in the top 10, right? Because
that's right.
If Bowers, let's just say, were to be drafted in the top 10, I mean, you could pick any of the teams, doesn't
matter.
If he's drafted in the top 10, he automatically has, I think it's a top 8 tight end contract in the NFL when it comes to guaranteed money. Now, these other guys have more total money, but for a lot of these contracts, the worth in them is the guarantees. Fully guaranteed? And so because rookie contracts are pretty much a wage scale where there's a little bit of wiggle room with signing bonuses and things like that, but not really. And that's kind of the way it is throughout the whole draft. No matter where you, what position you are, if you get drafted 8th, you're going to get the rookie wage scale, number 8 overall pick money.
That's
the conversation with like running backs as well, right? When Ezekiel Elliott goes top 5 and when Saquon Barkley goes top 5, that's, you go, hold on, you're now paying them guaranteed wise.
That's right. Locked
like
in.
Top 3 back in the NFL. And so when we have this conversation about tight ends, we often say, okay, well, this is why you don't take one in the top 10. People talked about this with Kyle Pitts, right, when he went top 5, because he automatically has to produce at basically a top 5 tight end level to be worth just the rookie contract.
Yeah.
But the other part of the conversation, what you were mentioning, is let's say he gets picked somewhere between pick 10 and pick 20 for this conversation. Mm-hmm. We'll say the Bengals. I don't know exactly what the price tag is, but I could tell you, if he's producing like a wide receiver too, it's instead going to look like a bargain.
So
that's why it's like you and I have talked about this a little bit before, where if you have a solidified wide receiver two that's going into the second year of their second contract, you're going to have to pay them a lot more money than a really good tight end. Now, again, the Travis Kelce's, the Rob Gronkowski's, those guys make near wide receiver two, sometimes wide receiver one money. Maybe that is the case with Bowers, but in his rookie deal, all of a sudden, if he's producing like a wide receiver too, you're flipping the conversation on its head and you're saying, okay, well, now he would have been almost overvalued if you drafted him in the top 10 and you were just kind of using him like a regular tight end. But if you are overemphasizing what Bowers can be as a receiver, which is what he is, then all of a sudden now it becomes advantageous and you don't necessarily have to have that conversation of, oh, you can never take a tight end early because it's not going to be good for your books. Yeah. So there is that interesting angle that I'm glad that you brought that up, because I don't think a lot of people talk about the flip side of things when talking about drafting tight ends in the first round.
Yeah, I think the ROI for him can become a bargain for the Cincinnati Bengals if they were to go, say, with that 18th overall selection and he was producing at the level of a wide receiver too. And I know that's kind of up there, but this is a guy that if you go and look at his production in college, it was certainly on par with that. But I looked at the franchise tag. So for instance, if a tight end right now, if you were to place a franchise tag on a tight end, he would make a guaranteed $12 million for the 2024 season. If it's a wide receiver, like a T. Higgins, it's $21 million.
Yeah.
So you're talking equal production, but based on the position letter by their name, you get a much better bargain. So I think that's something to think about long term, because look, Tom Brady, he had his Rob Gronkowski. Patrick Mahomes has his Travis Kelce. Maybe you need to go get that kind of playmaking tight end for one Joe Burrow. One last question before we kind of let you out of here. If I was to say that Brock Bowers is more than just a tight end, he's a multi-talented, multi-skilled offensive weapon, to that you would say what?
Well, sure. I think that's exactly what he is. And I think that you have to see him as that because, again, he's only about 240 pounds. So if you're going to sit here and say, no, we want him to be a traditional tight end, you better not be drafting him, because wherever you're going to have to draft him, it's going to be a low return on investment. Like, look, pound for pound, I think the guy's pretty strong. If you got linebackers that are coming in or coming off the edge, I think he can block these guys. I think he can stay in front of them. But it's not like, you know how sometimes they'll call tight ends like, oh, a sixth offensive lineman on the field. Sometimes you got these big guys.
Not this guy.
No, he's not. You can't leave him one-on-one with NFL defensive ends on the edge. Like, he doesn't have the mass. So to your question, like, when I say that he's more than a tight end, he better be, because that's the only way that you're going to maximize the value of where you're going to have to draft him. You're going to have to put him in the slot. You're going to have to put him as an X on the outside near the sideline. You'll put him as a wing back behind the line of scrimmage for some split zone blocking responsibilities, which I think he could do well. Shoot, you could even use him as a fullback, maybe on I formations when you get close to the goal line. He has to be more than a tight end to actually maximize where you're going to end up drafting him. And I believe that he can. And obviously that's why we're having this conversation with his receiving ability.
He is PFF draft analyst Trevor Sikkema. You can find more of his work by going to pff.com to find his mock draft and all the great work that Trevor has done outlining the 2024 draft when it comes up. Trevor, all the best to you. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Appreciate it, Sully. Anytime.
All the best. We'll be back with more after this.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Believe in Bengal podcast with yours truly, Solomon Wilcox, right here on Bally Sports Ohio. Want to thank PFF draft analyst Trevor Sikkema for lending his expertise. Remember, you can go to pff.com to get more on the upcoming draft, get all the evaluations of all the players selected or expected to be selected in this upcoming draft on April 25th. Also, I want to close out the show by adding a little bit more, because I want you to go to our YouTube page for the Believe in Bengals Network and Believe in Bengals podcast, and I want you to send in your questions. I'm going to go into that mailbag. I'm going to answer your questions, but I also want you to tell me this. Should the Bengals take a tight end, or should they take a right tackle? Should they take a right tackle with that 18th overall pick? We know we need more depth. We need to add some younger players to our offensive line rotation. I like what we have right now on the Bengals offensive line, but we've got some guys who are going to be on some one-year contracts, on some two-year contracts. Should we look to get that right tackle now since we're drafting this high? And because it's a talent-rich draft when it comes to offensive linemen in the 2024 draft. So what should the Bengals do with that 18th overall pick? Should they take a right tackle? Should they go with an interior defensive lineman or maybe an edge rusher with that 18th overall selection? Should they even take, say, a wide receiver? Look, I would like for the Bengals to have T. Higgins on the roster for the foreseeable future. Right now, he's only guaranteed to be on the roster for one more season playing under the franchise tag. Should the Bengals use that 18th overall selection maybe on a wide receiver in this year's draft, knowing that T. Higgins is going to be moving on? We already seems like we're going to lose Tyler Boyd. We could be losing T. Higgins in another year. And so sooner or later, we're going to have to add to the wide receiver rotation to play opposite and alongside of Ja'Marr Chase. Where should they go with that 18th overall selection? I already said they should get the uber-talented tight end that is Brock Bowers. Should they go with a right tackle? Do they go with an interior defensive lineman? Or maybe an edge rusher to throw in the mix? Do they go with a cornerback? If a corner is sitting there, talented, shutdown corner. Look, the quarterbacks are going to be pushed up the draft board, particularly in the first half of the first round. The Bengals are 18th on the clock. That means offensive linemen are going to get pushed down a little bit. That means we could get some of the wide receivers. Probably won't be one of the top three, but someone like Brian Thomas Jr., could be sitting there when the Bengals go on the clock, 18th overall. Should they take the tight end or should they take the receiver? Should they take the right tackle, interior defensive lineman, or edge rusher? But what if one of the top-notch shutdown corners are still on the board when the Bengals go on the clock with the 18th overall selection? Because you got to know Lou Anarumo is going to be getting me another corner. I think the Bengals could use another corner to go in our rotation. I like our corners now, like DJ Turner, love Cam Taylor-Britt. But if there's one of these corners sitting there with the 18th overall selection, that might get my attention. I have already voted to take the tight end. But what do you say, Cincinnati Bengals fan? Want you to go in. You can either go to my Twitter handle, at Solomon's Wisdom, or go to the YouTube page at believe.com. You can go there and just send me your statements. Where do you think the Bengals should go with the 18th overall pick in the upcoming draft? Tell me what you think. I will be back to read your questions right here on the air and give you my response as well. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Believe in Bengals podcast on Bally Sports Ohio. I am your host, Solomon Wilcox. Thank you for joining me, everyone. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.